This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Brooke Beers from Dinello, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for November 22nd, episode 1574. This episode is brought to you by Horsewear. Good morning, Horse World.
Good Tuesday morning to you, and I do mean a good Tuesday morning.
Well, if you insist on being accurate about it.
You know, only somebody with perfect comedic timing could produce this much energy in one shot.
Your time in the saddle ain't as rough as the life in between, and the fence isn't there for you to straddle, and you can't change horses in the middle of your dream.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to our Western episode that we do on the fourth Tuesday of every month. Brooke is kind enough to be joining us, although she is coming to us directly from the Horse Holster Warehouse and not in the studio this time. Hi, Brooke.
That is correct. Hi, everybody.
So if it sounds like she's on the phone, she is. That she is on the phone.
Yeah. Yes, I apologize. I'm going to talk as loud as I can.
She has some orders. So, you know, it is Christmas time, and she has this company where she actually sells stuff. So, and fortunately, Brooke, people want to buy the stuff.
You know, I'm very blessed. And this is the very first Christmas that people know about the product. It's in stores. So I've got stores, you know, restocking their shelves for their holiday, you know, orders to come in and customers coming in. And I launched it on December 15th. Last year. So, you know, I only had two weeks leading up to Christmas. So, you know, people still didn't know about it. But now I've got almost a year. And so it's getting a little crazy, but it's exciting. It's very exciting.
Well, and we're not going to help you today because we're talking about it, and then more people are going to go buy them, and you're even going to be busier.
That is okay. I'm sitting here and I'm stock and orders, so I'm ready for them.
Very good. Well, we have a big show planned for everybody today. We're going to be talking all Western today. We have Kent Sturman coming up, who I met when we were out in Denver, Colorado this year at WESA, and he is the director of the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame. He's going to tell us all about that. Then we have an award winner coming on the show, Carly Cade, did the book In the Reins. She's going to be joining us, and she just won the Winnie Award at the Equus Film Festival in New York City, so we're excited to have her on. And then we have a singer, a fiddler, a lasso twirler, a poet, an all-around cowboy, and he also makes some of the most beautiful cinches that you're ever going to find. Pop Wagner is going to be joining us today. We're going to hear a little of his music as well. So we have a full show planned for you on this Tuesday before Thanksgiving. If you haven't gotten the turkey out of the freezer yet, you better go walking right over there.
It's time.
Yeah, do that right now, or you're going to be eating frozen turkey on Thursday. So hop on over there and take it out. Now, do you have any specials coming up for the Horse Holster?
We do. We're going to be doing some Black Friday and some Cyber Monday specials, so definitely stay tuned for that.
Very good. You're not going to say what they are. You're holding out on us, aren't you?
I do. We don't want to spoil the fun.
So, and where can people, where would they go to find them?
Well, you can purchase them on our website at thehorseholster.com. And we're now, since the last show, we picked up a handful more stores. So now we're in 66 stores around the U.S. So definitely, you know, I always like to let everybody know to support your local tax store as well. And you can also find us in there. And you can check out the dealer locator on our website. And if you're going to be, you know, shopping out in person. I know a lot of people do online, but also check us out and see if we're in a tax store in your area.
And what's the most popular one this holiday season? What are you seeing flooding out the door?
You know, black has always been the most popular color, I guess, because it goes with everything. But even all of the other colors, they're kind of neck and neck. So, and we're also going to be coming out with some new colors come the new year. So we're excited, yeah. But everybody seems to always like black, too, because it goes with everything and doesn't show as much dirt.
And I always ask this question when we have somebody on who has a product around the holidays, because Jennifer and I worked retail. We owned a retail business for many, many years. What is the final day, if they order directly from your website, that you're going to be able to ship them out?
December 20th.
20th, okay. So make
December
sure you get your 20th, orders in before
that is
that.
The final day. Yep, okay. To get it in time.
Very good. Cool. Sounds good. And are you heading anywhere for the holidays? Are you going to be one of the millions of people driving this holiday?
I sure will be. But, I'll be driving overnight. I'm from the state of Delaware, and so I'm going home to mom and dad's house, and my brother and his family are driving up from North Carolina. He's got three kids, so I'm super excited to go home, take my dogs with me. It's been a while since everybody's seen them, and so I'll be making the 14 with my dogs, 14-hour drive up north. And The dreaded 95, but I think I'm going to drive overnight. So fingers crossed that makes it a little easier.
That just
for
means
me.
There'll be a lot of traffic in the dark. You know that, Brooke, right?
I know. I've already got my Red Bull ready. So
yeah, I hope so. I've made that drive at night before. You know, it's the traffic starts to clear out about midnight, 1 o'clock. And then from midnight, 1 o'clock, when you're the sleepiest, there's nobody around to keep you awake. So it's like,
I know
it is that drive.
You know, what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn the heat up a little bit, and then it's going to make my lab pant, and then that's going to keep me awake.
Good luck with that.
It'd be the loudest pant ever.
Well, we are, you're not going to be the only one driving this weekend. That is for darn sure. This is the busiest travel weekend of the year. And I read a statistic this morning. I was reading about it. 39, almost 40 million people will be on the roads for Thanksgiving. It's the highest traffic volume of the year. I'm just saying this to really make you look forward to this evening.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Well, this is what makes my trip even more exciting, though. So I just talked to another store yesterday. A brand new store is my very first store in Delaware, Chick Saddlery. And so they have decided to carry the horse holster. And I'm excited because it's my home state. And it's the first, you know, store that I've got there now. But since I'm driving and they just happen to be located about 20 minutes from where my parents live, I'm bringing their first order to them.
Oh, cool.
So I'm excited. I had the phone call with them yesterday and I said, you know what? You live right by my parents' house and I'm heading there this week. So I'll just bring the order to you. So that makes it even more exciting. So.
Is Chick's the only, we used to buy from them years ago. Is Chick's the only tech shop in Delaware?
They have Dover Saddlery, which is in more like north. But Chick's is, a lot of people, you know, go to Chick's. It's down in Harrington, Delaware. But where I'm from, I mean, it kind of in the middle, they're, you know, it's a little limited, but yeah, Chick's is a wonderful store. A lot of people are familiar. They've got, you know, a big online store. So I'm excited.
All right,
finally got my home state.
Well, congratulations. You certainly have grown that business a whole lot in the last year, and you deserve everything that's about to happen to you at the holidays.
Thanks.
I remember being up at 3 a.m. packing boxes. We would just be packing boxes what seemed like 24 hours a day around this time of year. We were one of the first ones to have an online tack shop. And
that's awesome.
So people were just figuring out how to buy. Just paying online was, I think it was PayPal back then. I don't even know what PayPal was. I don't know sure how we got paid. We got a lot of checks in the mail because even paying with your credit card online was kind of different and new back then. It was back in the middle to late 90s. And then once people started figuring out, I remember many, many nights of packing boxes till 3 in the morning and then getting up at 6 and starting all over again. So, but you know what?
That's what you do.
That's what you do, and it's also the time of year that saves your butt. So that's you look right. forward to that. Well, we have a special here for you before we get to our first guest, and that's Horsewear's grooming tip of the week. And this week, Horsewear has some more advice for you when it comes to after your workout. So let's take a listen to that, and then we're coming back with our first guest from the director of the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame. We'll be right back. This winter grooming tip is brought to you by Horsewear Blankets. Joining us are two of the top grooms in the country, Eventer Philip Dutton's groom Emma Ford and Kat Hill from World Class Grooming. Well, our Horsewear winter grooming tip of the week is brought to you by Kat. And Kat, this time we're talking about keeping your horses warm after a workout. And I think there always is some confusion exactly what to do here.
I do think it's one of the most confusing things, and especially for people who don't necessarily have access to, you know, beautiful indoor that attaches to stalls, if you're having to go out in the wind or if you've been out for a trail ride, how exactly do you keep those horses warm from having their muscles seize up and get stiff and uncomfortable? The biggest rule of thumb is simply to never leave a damp, warm horse uncovered. You want the horse to cool out slowly. It's actually the opposite of what we think of when we think of the summertime. You really want them to not go from warm and sweaty to freezing cold all at once. Sweat evaporates, which cools them off, which is great in the summertime and works against us in the winter. So I actually leave my tack on until I have a fleece over their rear end. And then I will remove my saddle and saddle pad, but I don't take my saddle and saddle pad off and then put it down and go get a fleece because I think it can catch a chill quite quickly when it's properly cold. The same thing, I actually try to use a quarter sheet at the beginnings and ends of my workout so that when I'm doing my walking cool down, when I'm on them or hand walking them, they have something over their quarters to keep them warm. I also try to layer blankets, especially up here in the Chippewa North, where, you know, most days, if you're riding after work, are going to be close to freezing or below freezing. It's very hard to just have a fleece on them. They'll get cold. So what I'll actually do is put a sports net or the Ramble Luxury Cooler is really nice. It's a dual layer that wicks. Or even the fleece-lined Ionic on top of them, and then I put another blanket over top of that to wick away any moisture and then have, you know, the protective layer from the wind on top of it. And I actually don't walk forever. I let them stand, but I just make sure that they stay covered. And especially if you've got a limited amount of time after work and you got to get them dressed again before you head home, putting something underneath their regular blanket that helps wick will prevent them from getting chilled.
So the Horsewear blankets or fleeces that we'd recommend here are
the Rambo Sports Net as your base layer, and then the Rambo Luxury Cooler or a fleece-lined Ionic as your second layer.
Well, thank you for that, Kat. Good advice. Where can people find more about what you do?
We're on Facebook at Instagram, and our website are all the same. It's World Class Grooming. Our website is worldclassgrooming.com, and then you can find us on Instagram and Facebook at just World Class Grooming.
And don't forget the book, World Class Grooming. You can find that at the website as well. Great holiday gift. This tip was brought to you by Horsewear. Have you ever wanted to own your own Rambo? Well, here's your chance. From October 3rd to November 23rd, receive $50 off any Rambo turnout blanket, including the Rambo Duo, the Optimo, the Original, the Supreme, and all the others in the Rambo turnout line. All you have to do is trade in your old turnout from any brand for a horse in need. Simply visit horseware.com/trade for more information and fill out the form for the voucher you will need to get your $50 off. The complete list of retailers is at horseware.com/trade as well. Open to U.S. and Canadian residents only. Go to horseware.com/trade today and replace that blanket with all the holes for one of the best blankets on the market, the Rambo Turnout Line. Well, now coming up, we have our first guest, and we have Kent Sturman here with us, who's the director of the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame. Good morning, Kent.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks for coming on. We met out at WISA, didn't we?
Yes, we did. Yep.
I thought so. I thought that's where we had met. But thank you so much. You know, I don't think we've ever talked about the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame in all the years we've been on the air, so I'm excited to learn about it. First of all, where is it?
We're located in Colorado Springs, Colorado.
Oh, cool. Very good. And how long has it been around?
It opened in 1979, and so we're in our 37th year.
Oh, very cool. So now tell us a little bit about who gets into the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame. How does that work?
Well, it is the Hall of Fame for the Professional Rodeo Cowboys Association. So all of our inductees would have had to have been a member of the PRCA at one point in their career.
Okay. And how are they chosen?
Anybody can nominate anyone for induction into the Hall of Fame, and then we do have a selection committee that's made up of knowledgeable people from contestants, stock contractors, members of the media that cover rodeo, and other groups, and that committee then meets and reviews all of the applications, and just kind of through their discussions and information provided, they just narrow it down to the final class that's selected.
And are there, I'm curious, do you know who the first person in the Hall of Fame was?
Well, in the opening class in 1979, they inducted 85 people.
Oh, wow.
So it was kind of a catch-up year to,
to
get it going, you know, because the PRC had been in professional rodeo had been around for so long that there were many deserving people. And then they didn't hold inductions for about 3 or 4 years after that. And then they did induct a few more. And then in 1985 was when we started doing annual inductions.
Ah, gotcha. Okay. So now, are there different categories? I mean, for all the different sports?
Yes, there's, of course, any one of the events offered in professional rodeo, those contestants can be considered. We also induct stock contractors, contract personnel, which are the announcers and the rodeo clowns and specialty acts. Livestock is also inducted, the livestock that's used in rodeo.
Oh, really?
As well as rodeo. Yes, absolutely. As well as rodeo committees. So, yeah, every portion of professional rodeo is represented.
And now, is there actually a building with exhibits?
Yes, there is a building. It's the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame and Museum of the American Cowboy. So all of the inductees have an exhibit in the museum, as well as there's a portion of the museum that's dedicated to kind of telling the story about rodeo and its history, the different equipment and how it's evolved over the years, the attire, you know, how jeans and shirts and hats and boots all evolved, and all the equipment and things used in the sport.
And you have, I noticed on your website, which, by the way, is at prorodeohalloffame.com, I noticed on your website that you have on November 28th out in Vegas, you have an event coming up.
Yes, we do. It's our annual Wrangler Gold Buckle Gala, which is a fundraising dinner for the Hall of Fame. But at that dinner, we also honor our Pro Rodeo legend each year. And that's kind of the kickoff event for the Wrangler National Finals Rodeo. On the 29th, then the Professional Rodeo Cowboys Association Convention starts. And then on December 1st, the rodeo starts and for the next 10 days. So we're out there for a couple of weeks, and it's a great event.
Do you bring any exhibits out there to the NFR?
We have a small traveling exhibit that we do put up at the Thomas and Mack Center, which is the arena where the rodeo is held. But it's just a small sampling of what they would see if they visited the museum.
So now you, I'm also taking a look here, and I see that Neil Gay, who is the one being honored this year for as the stock contractor, which anybody that's watched rodeo at all, even on TV, will have seen his name mentioned.
Absolutely. He's been around for a very long time. He started out as a contestant and then got into the stock contracting and rodeo producing business. And, you know, he's in his 90s now, and he's, still going strong. And he started Mesquite Championship Rodeo down there in the Dallas area, and which was televised for years. And so, yeah, he's very, very well known, very popular. And just, when you talk about rodeo legends, he's one of them that comes to mind. And so we're very proud to honor him this year.
You know, rodeo is one of those things, if you think about it, it started, 120, 30, 40, 50 years ago, and it's still as popular today. The crowds still come out for rodeo.
Absolutely, and actually it's getting more popular all the time. Our rodeos across the country are selling out constantly, and we're just getting great crowds everywhere. And of course, the National Finals Rodeo in Vegas is sold out every year, and very tough ticket to get. And the popularity of the sport is just tremendous.
You know, I've never been there.
How many people come to that one?
How many
at the National Finals?
Yeah,
the Thomas and Mack Center. The Thomas and Mack Center seats about 17,000, and they sell out each night for 10 nights.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. There's a lot of other things going on.
But... yeah, Cowboy Christmas.
Cowboy Christmas.
And, of course, a lot of activities around that event now. It's no longer just a trade show. They have an arena in there where they do some horsemanship events and some youth events and that kind of thing. And just a lot of activity going on for a long time. It's a great, great time.
Are there some members of the Hall of Fame that really stand out to you?
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, one of the most popular inductees is Lane Frost. And, everybody knows who Lane was. And such a tragic story, taken from us way too soon. And then, of course, the world champion.
Before you go on, we have listeners from all over the world, and not everybody's going to know. Can you just tell us a little bit about Lane?
Yeah, well, Lane was a very, very popular contestant. And because of the way that he spent time with the fans, after the rodeo, he would go out into the crowd and sign autographs and seek out the kids, especially. He was very, very popular with kids, and he knew the importance of treating the fans well, and they're what make the sport what it is, and he was a very popular cowboy, and he won the world champion bull riding, and then was tragically killed in bull riding during the Cheyenne Frontier days in 1989, but he was just a very popular individual, and he was a Christian man, and just had a great family, and just a real tragic story, but very popular young man.
I can't believe that was 1989.
Wow. Time flies.
Okay, how about others that stand out for you?
Well, the multiple world champions, of course, Casey Tibbs is our iconic inductee. He was a multiple world champion cowboy in the early days and was one of the first to really bring the sport along. And, he was on the cover of Life magazine and, did movies and, he was also very popular, but he really brought the sport forward and in the public eye a lot. And of course, Larry Mahan and Jim Shoulders and Ty Murray, those multiple world champions are, some of our most popular inductees that people ask about when they visit.
What about animals? Are there any animals, bulls or bronx that stand out?
Of course, Bodacious. Follow bull riding at all, very popular and he's inducted. And as a matter of fact, Sports Illustrated did a a story not long ago about the sports halls of fame in the country, and they selected an inductee from each hall of fame as their popular one, and they selected Bodacious from our hall. So he beat out all the humans. So he's very popular, and
he
of course, Gaddafi's goal. And,
wasn't he the one they used to call the most dangerous bull in the world?
Yes, yeah, he was. He was pretty rank.
He'd be like today, you know, those commercials, the most interesting man in the world. Well, we need to have those for the most dangerous bull in the world, and that would be Bodacious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the bull
wow.
Oscar was popular, and after Oscar was retired from competition, he actually came to the Hall of Fame and lived there until his death. And his owners then had him cremated, and they put half of his ashes are in the museum in an urn there in his display, and then the rest they took back home to the ranch and spread at the ranch.
Oh, very cool. You know, I was just looking up because I thought I remembered something about a song. There was a song about Bodacious. It was by an alternative rock band named Primus, and the song was called Ballad of Bodacious, and they actually did it with the bull in mind.
Wow, that's something I didn't even know.
See, you can add that now. You can have that playing. You can have alternative rock playing there at the museum.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
And I'm reading here, too. There was a Short's Brewing Company named a beer after Bodacious called Goodnight Bodacious. So it was an IPA.
Mm-hmm.
There's an IPA named after him, too.
Oh, here's an Austrian ski company named their big mountain ski after Bodacious. Wow.
That's when you know you're a bull that's popular.
Yeah, he had quite the reputation.
Now, you know, the other thing, too, that's been interesting about rodeo is the popularity is just growing overseas, probably more than it is here.
It is. We're, you know, it's been very popular in places like Brazil and Spain and other parts of Europe. And, of course, it's always been a great sport in Australia and Canada. But the Professional Rodeo Cowboys Association just this past year are now co-sanctioning rodeos in Mexico as well.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. Very cool. Well, where can people go to learn more about it?
Well, obviously our website, which is prorodeohalloffame.com. We're also on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. And the best way to learn more about it is come see us.
All right. Very good. And that's in, and you're open. The hours and everything are on the website as well.
Yes, they are, and we're right now in winter hours, which is Wednesday through Sunday, 9 to 5, and then May 1st, we are open 7 days a week.
All right, very good. That's Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame. That's in Colorado's beautiful Colorado Springs, Colorado, and you can check it out. And I wish I'd thought about this when we were out there. We would have out and seen it when we were there.
Yeah.
Now I have to go back.
Hey, well, I'll be back again in January. January 13th, we're going to be back out there. So I'm done. Now that I know it's right there, then I'm going to have to go check it out.
Yeah, we'd love to have you.
All right. Thanks a bunch.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ted.
Well, that's fun. You know, Colorado Springs isn't that far from where we were. So you're heading back out to WISA in January?
Yeah. I'm going to be there the whole time. So now that I know that this is here, I'm going to add this to my list. I'm going to do some dog sledding, and then I'm going to definitely go check this out.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, I wanted to remind everybody, of course, that Radiothon is coming up. I have now finished editing all the voicemails, all 110 of them, into packages all day long, so that we have some fun ones there. But I just need to remind you that you can also still win one of the $4,200 in prizes, which includes a couple of horse holsters. Thank you for donating.
That
those,
is Brooke. Right.
Yeah, thank you for doing
you're,
that.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. And you can win a couple of those as well. But we are going to be giving away prizes all day. And the only way you can enter to win now is by giving us a call that day. Even if you don't get on the air, the producers will be writing your name and number down, and we'll be picking numbers off of a big spreadsheet that day. And that's how we're going to be choosing the winners all day long. So if you do call in and get on the air, we want to hear about your fantasy ride. So that's if you could ride any horse from history or current, what would that horse be? And I can tell you, well, the ones that were submitted already by voicemail, there are a few popular ones. Then they're probably the ones that you would guess. But then there were some that I was really surprised at. And I went, wow, that's a unique one. You know, I didn't think about that. So there were some really, really unique ones. And then all of the hosts, we have 20 hosts participating that day. All of the hosts will also be talking about their fantasy rides. We even have some of the horses' husbands hosts calling in during Horse Husband Hour, and that should be a lot of fun as well. And then, of course, we end the day with Eventing Nation and Horse Nation, and we have no idea what's going to happen during that hour. So that just is wild, and you'll definitely want to tune in for that. But we know a lot of people are taking off work and listening in all day. We appreciate you, and we're glad that you're going to be part of this day. Well, our next guest is somebody that I'm very excited to talk to. She is an author. Her name is Carly Cade, and she is now an award-winning author. She just won a Winnie Award at the Equus Film Festival in New York City a couple of days ago. Congratulations, Carly.
Thank you so much, Glenn. I'm so excited to be here and share about my experience at the Equus Film Festival with you.
Oh, we're so excited to hear about it. We haven't talked to anybody since the film festival. We talked to people before, but we haven't heard about it. Now, you wrote a book called In the Reins, which my co-host today, Brooke, her name is in the book. Your main character is Devin Brooke.
Yeah, that's right. Brooke, you have a... It's fabulous, and it's spelled the same way too.
And was she the murderer?
Yes.
Did she kill somebody? I want to know, because Brooke, you know, you never know with Brooke. So I'm just checking.
Oh no, actually, the lead character didn't kill anyone, but she has a interesting journey along the way of rediscovering her roots with horses. So there's some, you know, Bridget Jones type fumbling around and learning her way and fumbling for. You know, reaching for success and what it looks like to be an authentic horse rider again.
Brooke, it does sound like you. She did write
it.
Basically, you're saying that the person's a hot mess and that's... I'm just kidding.
Well, I don't know your book. I don't know your Brooke well enough to say if that's the truth. But the lead character, Devin Brooke, she has a little finding her way to do. She's a little bit of a train wreck in a very genuine, fun, you know, horsey way.
What now? Is this your first book?
This is my first debut novel, and
oh, wow.
It's really. I mean, the horse community has been so supportive of this book. It's been an Amazon bestseller for more than 10 weeks. It received this
Equus
Festival nomination and then award. Yeah, it's been amazing. And this is the first book in a series of three. So this is a horse book series for horse lovers. And this first book kind of, you know, helps you fall in love with the characters and get to know them and understand a little bit of their history. And I'm writing the sequel now. I hope to have it out early in 2017 so people don't have to wait much longer. And this one goes a little bit into the history of the Greenbrier Farm and Cowboy McKenna Kelly and Sophia Matilda Washington Clark, who is the ethereal farm owner. And then, of course, our leading lady, Devin Brooke, and her paint horse, Faith, and the handsome bull rider, J.D. McCall. So you've got a great cast of characters, and everything is kind of webbing and weaving together as we speak in the sequel to In the Reins.
Now, was that character designed after me? That's the one that was modeled after me, right?
Yeah,
just saying.
Well, there's two choices for readers, right?
All
so
right.
I gave them a, you know, mysterious kind of brooding Romeo and Wranglers. But then on the other side, you've got your younger kind of loose cannon, loose gun, handsome bull rider, you know, so you get your choice.
That's
you can
not
choose.
Me.
And readers are...
Do you have
readers
the old
are,
guy?
You, right?
Who's the
them?
Old guy in the book? That'd be me. That'd be the one I am. So...
Okay.
You know, I was just talking last night with Lisa Wysocki, who I'm sure you're familiar with, who's written a series of very successful horsey books. And also, we did an interview for Radiothon coming up with Sherry Hill, who, of course, has written like 40 books about horses.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so
they're on my shelves.
Yeah, there you go. In the future, you're going to be the Sherry Hill of the future right there.
Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful?
Well, now, I'm so excited. I have a copy of the book here, and I'm excited to get to read it and find out what it's all about. And you must have been good because you won an award. Tell us about how excited you were about that.
Oh, my gosh. It was such an honor. So just being a part of the Equus Film Festival this past week for the last, 4 days in New York City was an incredible experience. The people that I was able to meet, the fellow authors I was able to speak with and learn from were fabulous. It was, a great networking event. And, winning the Winnie Award for Best Western Fiction was just like the icing on the cake. I was so excited to receive the honor and be in the presence of all these people that are making just incredible creative contributions to the horse world. And, kudos to the Equus Film Festival for giving a platform and a stage for people to voice, sometimes it's not always pretty, but voice what they're up to in the world and what's going on with horses for them. So it was just a really fabulous experience. And I was in a room with a lot of great people. And I actually, if anyone's interested, on my website, CarlyKateCreative.com, or on my Facebook page, Carly Kate Creative, I made a behind-the-scenes vignette about what my experience was like being at the Equus Film Festival. So people could really get a, if they've never been, a really great feeling for what the festival was like and, go behind the scenes with me as an author.
Did you get to see, did you get to have a chance to watch any of the films or many of the films?
I did. You know, it, being a part of the festival is a little bit different than being a guest. So I had a table to manage and a booth, and I was speaking with people and meeting other authors and autographing books. So it didn't always make it easy to be able to see all of the films that I wanted to. But the theater was wonderful. They had four different screens going. So I was able to pop in and at least see some of the films. And it was... It was a really wonderful time.
Is there one that stood out to you that you did get to see?
Well, there's one I'm very excited to see, actually. I was only able to see the trailer, but I met the star. Her name is Apple the Movie Horse, and she is a mini pony that's actually housebroken. And she won Best Trailer, and the film was actually picked up by Sony, and it's coming out next year.
What's
so I'm very excited to see that one.
What's it about?
It's about a miniature pony that actually becomes like, a seeing eye pony and the journey of her showing up in this person's life and making a difference for them. I think the trailer is out there right now and available for people to watch. But that one I'm very excited about because it just shows the connection between the human and the horse, which is something that I was very important to me when I was writing my book. And I love those human horse connection stories just to show the emotional bond that humans have with these amazing animals.
Okay, well, that leads to a question. Do you have a horse?
I do. So I've been involved with horses like as long as I can remember, and I started taking riding lessons when I was 7. So currently I have a paint horse. Her name is Sissy, and she inspired the lead horse character in my book, In the Reins. My journeys with her sort of helped me like really write from what it's like to be a horse owner as I wrote this book. So I know horses, and that's why it was just a natural fit for me to write a book, a fiction book that involves horses. And in this book, the lead characters are just as important. The horses are just as important as the leading lady and man. They play just as much of a vital role.
Yeah, you self-published, right? Am I seeing that you self-published this?
I did, and that was a choice I made intentionally. I have
How
a background
hard was that
in marketing.
To figure out the first time?
Oh man, it required a lot of research and a lot of dual diligence and a lot of hard work, but it was so rewarding because my intent. I wanted to control the market that it was going to, like the audience that would be reading this book. I wanted to have a say in how the cover turned out. I wanted to support other dreamers along the way as I did this book. And the self-publishing industry has advanced so much since in the last few years. It's amazing the things that you can do with the gift of the internet.
Oh. And I'm looking on Amazon.
That is so true.
Brooke, I'm looking on Amazon. And so you have 53 reviews and 4.75 stars. So, I mean, that's not too bad.
No, it's pretty
amazing.
I'm curious. It's been in the... Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I'm curious. were you always, did you always have an interest in writing? Like, really, what inspired you to do this? Because this is great.
Thank you. I have always been interested in creative writing. I've always carried a journal with me in my purse, and I always kind of thought myself more of a poet when I was a young person, and I was always in creative writing classes and advanced English and that, but I didn't intentionally set out to become an author until the lead character, McKinnon Kelly, kind of showed up one day as a poem. And that poem, I still have the page in my journal and the actual journal where this came to life. That poem actually ended up being the opening page of In the Rains. And then
wow.
I started thinking on it, and a few days later, then this new spark of, I don't know where it comes from, but the spark showed up. And I actually sat down and I wrote the entire ending of the book, handwritten, over a course of like 3 hours. It was like this amazing creative burst of energy. And from there, I just kept working on it and I kind of filled in all the pieces.
I'm always interested to talk to writers and find out about their process, because some writers, you know, do an outline and they kind of have an idea of where the story is going to go from beginning to end before they even start. Lisa Wysocki, you know, she starts and just starts writing. She has no idea what's going to happen at the end. She has no plan for the end. You know, it's so interesting to see how different writers do it.
Yeah, it is. I'm a lot like what you just described. I kind of go with the characters. I think for me, the most important thing is to touch and live with my characters every single day in order to, you know, kind of be in that experience. So I always have a journal, or I have, my car is covered in post-it notes. I don't know why I have this obsession for post-it notes. I'll like be writing, walking down the, you know, driving down the street, and I'll write a bunch of stuff furiously on post-it notes. And like, I find them stuck to, you know, Cheez-It boxes when I get them out of the cabinet to have a snack, because I take those to the barn with me. And then I'll wake up in the middle of the night, like something will strike me, and I'll write all over post-it notes. So I have like piles and piles of post-it notes, which then I'll translate into the novel when I'm sitting down to my morning writing sessions. I find morning is when is the best time for me to write also.
Well, very cool. You can find the book. Well, where can you find a book? What's the best place to go, especially for the holidays here, if somebody wants to get it as a gift?
Well, if they'd like to have it signed and give it as a gift, it's available on my website, www.carlycadecreative.com. Or you can also pick it up on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. There's another digital book site called Kobo, and it's also available on Apple iBooks. So there's a plethora of places to find it. And you know, Amazon is probably the one everyone's most familiar with, of course, and Barnes & Noble.
Right. Well, you're in Barnes & Noble. That's great. I'm just looking here, too, and it's available also on the Kindle paperback. You know, you can find it pretty much everywhere I looked. So it's called In the Rains. And by the way, you spell Carly's name C-A-R-L-Y-K-A-D-E. So it's K-A-D-E. So it's Carly Cade Creative is where you're going to find the website. Well, Carly, good luck with this book. It sounds like you're already doing well with it, and we hope that continues through the holidays.
Thank you so much, Glenn and Brooke. I really appreciate being on the show today. And thank you for, you know, supporting my journey as an author. It's been an incredible ride so far.
And you got to meet Debbie Laux, too, one of our hosts, and Monty Roberts' daughter. Did I see a picture of the two of you together?
That's right. I did meet her. And she told me to tell you that she said hi. And we probably should chat, too, because I bid on the silent auction for some of the services that your network has to offer, because I was familiar with all the wonderful things you do. So we'll probably have to have a follow-up chat.
Oh, good. Well, congratulations on
fabulous.
That, too. Yeah, that's going to be fun. We'll come up with some fun, creative things to do together. That'll be great.
Oh, so excited.
All right,
yeah,
Carly.
Be great.
Thanks a bunch. We'll talk to you
Thank
soon.
Thank you
Thanks,
so much.
Carly.
Have a lovely Thanksgiving. Thank you. Happy Turkey Day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
You know, that's ambitious to do a lot of people have to do their first books at, you know, that route, self-publish, but then to self-publish and do so well and do as well as she did with it. And
I know, that's amazing.
Being in the top of Amazon like that, that's very cool. That's very cool. Well, we'll
very
have to
cool.
get
I'm
a copy.
Get it.
Yeah.
Check it out. Yeah.
We'll have to make sure you get a copy of that for your reading pleasure when you're stuck with family and everybody's talking about politics. You can go hide in the corner. See, that's a good idea, everybody. When, you know, this week on Thanksgiving Day, that's what's going to be happening. It's going to be a nightmare. So you might as well just grab In the Rains and go hide in the corner. I've solved all the problems of everybody's families this week.
I think you just did.
Do you have one? And we were talking about this yesterday on the show. There's always one. There's that one family member that insists on being the one that, you know, starts the political discussion or the thing that they know is going to rile the whole family up. It's always one.
This is true. There's one in every crowd.
Yep. Do you have that one, that one that, you know, you're going to avoid those conversations with?
No, you know, my family's not bad. We're not too bad. I think we'll be good.
Okay. All right. Just checking. See, my brother, we're getting together with my brother, and we're the exact polar opposite when it comes to politics and stuff. So we learned a long time ago that you just don't. You just don't go there.
Right.
You just avoid the topic and you don't talk about it. You just avoid it at all costs. So that's what we do. Well, we're going to head to our next guest, but as a way of introducing our next guest, I would like to play a little bit of one of his songs. So let's take a listen. And this song's right up our alley on the morning show.
I got a CB cellular, laptop, fax machine, hay prices, cattle futures on my computer screen. Living in the country with my horses and my girl, I'm an old-fashioned cowboy in a modern-day world. Modern conveniences, they sure are a blast, but I've always got a foot or two stuck there in the past. I'm trying hard to catch up, but I guess that there's no hope, cause when catching comes to mind, I'm always grabbing for my rope. With the CB cellular, laptop, fax machine, hay prices, cattle futures on my computer screen. Living in the country with my horses and my girl, I'm an old-fashioned cowboy in a modern-day world.
Well, that was Pop Wagner from Minnesota. Hi, Pop. Welcome to the show.
Hello there, Brooke. Nice to be here. Thanks for having me. Hi, Glenn.
Hey, Pop. Thanks for, we're going to play that whole song out of the show today because you got to hear the whole thing. And that's right up our alley here at Horses in the Morning. We love the fun ones. So.
Yeah, can I tell you what little instance that caused me to come up with that song?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I was helping gather cattle at a cattle ranch in southwest Wisconsin, and it was very hilly country. And the foreman of the crew was communicating with his wife back at the ranch house, and because it was so hilly, his cell phone didn't have good reception, and he was standing tiptoe in the stirrups on his horse, reaching his cell phone up as high as he could with his arm and shouting up to it and then bringing it back to his ear to hear her response. And I thought, boy, now there's a cowboy sitting horseback using a cell phone. That's a kind of a funny image, and I thought it needed a song.
Yeah, that's so you are from Minnesota, Pop?
I grew up in Ohio, but I've been in Minnesota since 1970. So I'm almost considered a local.
Yeah, and now you are like a jack of all trades. I watched, some of your videos on YouTube and you're a picker, you're a fiddler, you do so many different wonderful things. And I guess, you got a schedule, so I also want to make sure people, that are maybe in the area, because you've got some tour dates coming up locally in the state of Minnesota for people to come check you out and see you live in person.
Yeah, I have tour dates coming up in Minnesota and Colorado and Wyoming, and it's all on my schedule. That's at popwagner.com.
Okay.
There's several buttons. There's a schedule button, and there's also a button for classes and demos, and that's where I teach mohair cinch making too.
Yeah, definitely. I want to also talk about the mohair cinch making, but As far as being musical, were you always one of those kids that was, you know, running around singing? Is it something that you always had with you when you were young? Like, how long have you been doing it?
Yeah, well, I grew up in a fairly musical family. My father played clarinet. My mother played the piano. My maternal grandfather played the piano, the organ, the banjo, the harmonica. And he'd play the banjo and the harmonica at the same time, you know, and one of those had the harmonica in a rack. And that was quite an impression on a kid. And I got a guitar when I was 14, and I just never quit. So.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is great. You've done so many wonderful things. And the mohair cinches. This is really amazing.
Yes.
Because you do the classes to show people how to make them. And, you know, and I was looking at them and they're beautiful. So talk a little bit about how long you've been doing that. And
well, I've been making cinches for just a little over 10 years. I started in 2006. And I took a class in Cody, Wyoming, that a fellow named Darren Alexander was teaching. And we got to be friends, and he got me started in cinch making. And then I just kept doing it and learning this and that. And I designed a loom that, because the first loom I used was a horizontal loom, and it slid around on the table and wouldn't stay put. And then I realized I could fasten it vertically to an artist's easel, and it was easier to use ergonomically, so to speak. You know, it was easier on my back, and I could change the level depending on what part of the cinch I was working on. So I took that idea and designed a loom from it. And I provide those for people to use during the classes, and I sell a few of them. And, you know, I make and sell custom cinches and teach other folks how to do that as well. I've taught probably close to 250, 300 people now.
Wow, that have learned how to do it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, on average, like, how long does it take to make a cinch?
It depends on the style of cinch and how complicated the decorative part of the design is. I can make a basic cinch in about 2 hours. That's for the 17 strand tied cinch, and I can make a roper style in a little less than that, probably a little over an hour. But that's without a custom design. And there's the design potential is almost limitless. You can go as simple or as far out as you want.
Yeah, I'm on popwagner.com right now, and there's so many different, you know, design patterns that you've got here. And then you do custom belts. I see that you also make belts. And then you even had made a breast collar.
Breast collars and hat bands. Yep. All of that.
And now
the
mohair from Angora goes. And now where do you usually get that from?
Well, there are several suppliers of ready-made mohair cord and detail yarn. It's slightly different from the mohair that people would knit with. If you're a knitter, you're probably familiar with mohair yarn, and that's made from the hair of the kid goats. It's a finer hair than what we use for mohair cinches. That comes from the adults, and sometimes a blend of the adults and the kid hair. And it's, I've bought it ready-made, and I've also bought raw mohair and taken it to a fiber mill and they turn it into a detail yarn for me, and then I take the four plies of the detail yarn and using a old-fashioned hand crank rope machine, I can make that into the actual cord for the cinch body.
You know, the only thing you need to complete that cycle is to get your own goats. You know that, right? That's the only thing.
Yes.
Well,
I don't think
I'm going to do that.
How many would that take? About 1,000?
I don't think you need that many to get started, but that's something it's not in my future. I'm not going to get any goats.
I'll tell you what, these are beautiful.
I have, Pop,
I'm looking at the pictures here. These have to be some of the most beautiful mohair cinches I've ever seen.
Well, it's what I refer to as functional art. I've sold cinches to people that hang them on the wall. In fact, they've hung in museums at times. But they're also completely functional working cinch, each and every one.
Yeah, and the belts are beautiful, too. I can see, actually, Brooke, I can see you wearing these belts. You should put one of these on your Christmas list.
I mean, I know. I'm looking at it. It's all so cool. And, the color combination.
Yeah.
And if you want,
I've never seen anything like this.
I can fix you up with a matching set of a mohair cinch, a breast collar, and a belt and a hatband, if you want. So
he'd be happy to do that for you.
I'm looking at the teal color. Missy would like that.
I think it's great that you do the classes too. Are they local? Or that something you do online or locally? Or how do you do that?
Well, I don't do it online. It's hard to do. There are some videos and instructional manuals, but I think for someone starting out, it really helps to be hands-on and see it and be able to, see exactly what's going on. And I do these classes all over. I've done them in Minnesota, Wisconsin, Arkansas, Wyoming, Colorado, Montana, Idaho.
You've got some upcoming, and it looks like you're going to be in Nevada in February at the Cow Camp Trading Post at the Great Western Deer Show.
Yeah, that's more of a demo. I'm not teaching a class there, but I will have a booth. That deer show happens during the National Cowboy Poetry Gathering at the Red Lion Hotel, and it's a very... It's remarkable makers there of all types of tack and gear, spur makers, saddle makers, you name it. It's all there. I'll actually be the first mohair cinch maker to have a booth space there, and I'll be making cinches and talking to people and looking very much forward to that. I've been to the gathering before as an entertainer, but not as a cinch maker. So I'm looking forward to that.
You know, we used to have somebody come on every year about that time or from the event itself. And I don't know why we stopped doing that. We have to get back to doing that. And they would do some poetry for us on the air. We need to do that again.
Well, I could do your quick little poem about mohair cinches if you want.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go. I want to hear it.
All right. I tend to favor mohair for saddle girths and cinches. It's strong, sheds dirt, wicks moisture, while it never chafes or pinches. And over time, the back felts in till it's smooth as a baby's bottom. It's luxury for horses and mules, too, if you got them. So you can have your neoprene and cotton. That'll stretch, of course. Acrylics harbor dirt and grit. I'm putting mohair on my horse.
That's very well done.
Yay!
Good job.
I love it.
Are they washable? That's a question I just got from a listener, actually.
Well, you know, it's interesting. There was one working cowboy that my friend Darren Alexander made a cinch for, and he checked with him, talked with him over about 10 years later. He's still using the same cinch. And Darren asked, well, how do you clean it? And he said, the cowboy said, well, ride through a river once in a while. So that's one extreme. And the other, I recommend that people take and dunk it in a bucket of cold water and swish it around with the horse side down. That kind of opens up the fibers and lets the sweat and any grit that might have been trapped in there.
Any soap? Do you use Ivory soap or some mild dish soap? Or
I don't. Okay. If one wants to use soap, I would recommend something very mild, Woolite or Ivory dish soap, kind of stuff. And not much of it. And you don't want to remove the horse hair that actually felt in and becomes part of the cinch on the horse side. It, over time, that adds to the body of the cinch and makes it that much softer for the horse.
Huh. I didn't know that. Very cool. Mm-hmm.
I didn't either. I mean, this is like, it's really making me want one.
Well, Christmas is coming. Speaking of which.
Well, you should. What? Yeah, speaking of which, you should organize a class in Florida. I'll come and teach you how to do it.
Oh, there you go. Well, I got to ask you.
I'm going to look into that.
Are these available for the holidays for Christmas?
They certainly are.
And they
take a while to make, so you better get to me pretty quick.
Okay.
And you can do that through my website, popwagner.com.
And they're made to order, right?
Well, each one is custom made. I don't have a stock.
Right.
I don't have a lot in stock. I have very few in stock, but because everyone has a different length that they want, maybe different color combination, it's hard to keep all of that in stock. And
Seeing here on your website, are those the only color options, or if somebody wanted like a different color that they didn't see here? And by somebody, I mean me.
Yeah, there's no limit to what colors are available, but there's only a few that I have in stock. I would have to either dye them myself or order them dyed, and it doesn't add much time to it, but it adds a week or two.
All right, good. Well, popwagner.com is where you can find it. Thanks so much for joining us. You have a wonderful holiday, and we hope that you see those Christmas orders coming in.
All right. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks, Pop.
Thanks, Pop.
Bye, Brooke. Bye.
Well, you know, that's an art that's, I'm so glad he's teaching classes on this, because it's an art that's going to go away if he doesn't, right? The handmade
ones
like this.
Well, and I agree. I've never seen this before.
I mean, obviously we see the machine made ones, but not the ones like he does. I mean, these are beautiful. And you can tell their quality. I mean, you can tell just by looking at the pictures. The knots.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm like, he's got the teal, but I'm looking for purple. I've got to match Missy's tack.
I'm sure that he could arrange that. I'm sure that could happen. Well, Brooke, I know you have some orders to get to, so we're going to cut it short here today. I promised Brooke she'd be out of here in time to finish doing all of her orders before she has to drive 14 hours tonight. So thank you so much for joining us today. Where can people go to buy your products?
Horseholster.com.
Horseholster.com is where you can find them. And you want to get your orders in before the 20th for all of your horsey friends. And it definitely is a gift that somebody's not going to give you that look like, what the hell is this and why'd you get it for me? You won't have that problem with the Horseholster.com. You also won't have that problem with any of Horsewear Blankets. We appreciate them being the title sponsor today. You can find them at Horsewear.com. Jamie and I will be back tomorrow here on Horses in the Morning. You can find all of the past episodes that Brooke's been on. Just go to horsesinthemorning.com and search for Brooke, and you'll bring up all the past Western episodes that we have done. Brooke will not be here next month. We're going to be skipping a month because that's Christmas. So we always take the week between Christmas and New Year's off. So we'll see you back here in January after your busy holiday.
That's right. Well, everybody have a good Thanksgiving, safe travels for anybody that is going to be joining me on the road.
And this is Pop Wagner's going to take us out with Old Fashioned Cowboy. Hi, Brooke. Have a safe trip.
Thanks.
I got a
see y'all tomorrow, 9 a.m.
Laptop, fax machine, hay prices, cattle futures on my computer screen. Living in the country with my horses and my girl. I'm an old fashioned cowboy in a modern day world. Modern conveniences, they sure are a blast, but I've always got a foot or two stuck there in the past. I'm trying hard to catch up, but I guess that there's no hope, cause when catching comes to mind, I'm always grabbing for my rope. With the CB cellular, laptop, fax machine, hay prices, cattle futures on my computer screen. Living in the country with my horses and my girl. I'm an old-fashioned cowboy in a modern-day world. We had a gather here last weekend, neighbors come to help us brand. Jenny brought along her little mini digicam. We got pictures now on MySpace that'll really make you laugh, and a video on YouTube of us doctor and a calf. Got a CB cellular, laptop, fax machine, hay prices, cattle futures on my computer screen. Living in the country with my horses and my girl. Just an old-fashioned cowboy in a modern-day world. Well, then I went into town, it was just the other day. Walking through the grocery aisle, I heard somebody say, look at that old timer, ain't he just a hoot? With that Bluetooth in his ear and manure on his boots. Cellular, laptop, fax machine, hay prices, cattle futures on my computer screen. Living in the country with my horses and my girl. I'm just an old-fashioned cowboy in a modern-day world. Then I stopped at the post office, my errand's almost done. And wouldn't you just know it, someone started poking fun. I'm trying hard to modernize, but in the past I'm stuck. I got George on my iPod, a blasted from my truck. The CB cellular, laptop, fax machine, hay prices, cattle futures on my computer screen. I'm living in the country with my horses and my girl. I'm an old-fashioned cowboy in a modern-day world.